It's time for Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout, coming to you from Pensacola, Florida. Over the next few minutes, Pastor Swarthout will share from his heart and bring you a message from the Word of God. We would like to invite you to visit our website at christiansforamerica.com. That's Christians, the number four, America.com. It is our prayer that you will be blessed and encouraged by today's message. And now, Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida.
Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Don Swarthout coming to you from the Gospel Truth Center. In Galatians 1:6, the Bible says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel than which we preach to you, which is not another, but there is some who want to trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach to you any other gospel than we preached before, let him be accursed." The question is whether I am persuaded by men or by God, whether I want to persuade by men or God. The answer is, if I were still pleasing men, I would not be a servant of Christ. But was the gospel preached by Paul according to man? No, it was according to the leading of God. In Galatians 1:12, Paul makes it clear that he did not receive his revelation from man, nor was he taught the gospel of Christ, but rather than it coming from a common man, it came directly from Jesus. Paul was formerly against the church and persecuted it because he wanted to destroy it. Paul was more zealous for the traditions of men, and being such, he advanced in Judaism much faster than most of his contemporaries. But when it pleased God, who called him through his grace, to reveal his Son in him and to call him to preach, still he did not confer with flesh and blood. 3 years later, Paul went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. But he did not see any of the other apostles except for James, the Lord's brother. Paul was not known among the churches in Judea, but they had heard that Paul, who formerly persecuted the church, was now preaching the faith which he had tried to destroy. And they glorified him in God. This was a big clue to the churches of Judea that Paul was for real. After 14 years, Paul went by revelation communicated the gospel which he preached to the Gentiles. In answer to a question about Titus, he was not required to become circumcised, although it was because he was a Greek. This became an issue because of false brethren who had secretly been brought in to spy out the liberty which these people had in Christ Jesus so they could bring them into bondage. Galatians still did not yield to those who opposed them, so the gospel could continue. When the gospel of the uncircumcised had been given to Paul to preach to the Gentiles, they were okay with it, but they only were told to remember the poor, which was also important to Paul. Man is not justified by faith or works, but man is justified by faith in Jesus Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. It is faith in Jesus. For we died to the law so we could live to God. But we have been crucified with Christ And it is no longer I who live, said Paul, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Paul said, oh, you foolish Christians. I guess I'm the one that said Christians. He said, oh, you foolish Galatians, who misled you that you should not obey the truth? That before your eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed to you as having been crucified. Answer this question, he said. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing the truth of Jesus Christ by your faith? Or have you been made so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you are now being made perfect in the flesh? Is that true? Well, no. In a word, it is not true. It is a question that Paul asked, and he expected a no answer. He who supplies you with the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he work the miracles by law or by the Spirit? Through faith. The Spirit of God makes miracles work through your faith. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore we know only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. If you believe in the law, then you are not a son of the promise. In the scripture, God justified the Gentiles by faith and preached the gospel to Abraham when God said, In you all the nations shall be blessed. Those of you who are of faith are blessed by believing God's promises and the promises God made to Abraham. No one is justified by the law in the sight of God. This is evident when we remember that according to Romans 1:17, which says, the just shall live by faith. Yet their faith is not of faith, and Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Jesus did this so the blessings of Abraham would come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we would be able to receive the promise of the Spirit through our faith. In other words, you can receive the promises made by God, the Spirit of God through your faith. The law cannot annul God's covenant in Christ or make it of no effect. Why? Well, for one thing, the law came 430 years later. If the inheritance is of the law, then it is no longer of God's promises. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. God gave it to Abraham by making a promise to him, which was before the law was given. The law was added because of our transgressions. The law was added until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. The Bible says this promise was handled by a mediator, and that was Jesus. The scripture is for all of us, being of sin, so the promise of faith is allowed to be given to those who believe. As many of you as were baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs of according to the promise. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law. Jesus was born under the law so that we could receive the adoption as sons. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you are an heir of God through Jesus Christ. When you did not know God, you served those who by nature are not gods. When I was in my flesh, you did not despise me or reject me, but you received me as an angel of God. Has Paul become your enemy because he tells you the truth? For as it is written, Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman was born through the promise, which is rather symbolic. The woman from Mount Sinai, Hagar, responds to Jerusalem, which at the time of Hagar was in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above, the Jerusalem that is heaven, the Jerusalem above is free like the free woman. Jerusalem in heaven is the mother of us all, and so is the free woman. Now we are children of promise, but he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. You can take a lot of things from this scripture, including the idea that the fleshly child was unfair to the spiritual child, or the nation of the fleshly child was unfair to the nation of the spiritual child. You can take the idea that the child born of the free woman was a free child versus a child born of a slave or bondwoman being a slave. The idea of the spirit versus the flesh gives me the idea of a desirable child versus an undesirable child, or an evil child versus a good child, or of a real child versus a child who was born of convenience. The scriptures say, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be made an heir with the son of the free woman. Because of the promises made to Abraham, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but we are the children of the free woman. I suppose I'm the only one who's getting a message here in the background sent by a sermon that relates to Christians reviving America's values. I don't know. But anyway, in 1 Galatians 5:1, the Bible says, stand fast, therefore, in liberty, by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In Galatians 5:16-25, the Bible goes into talking about the spirit versus the flesh. This is the mystery of God. The mysteries of God is listed in Strong's Concordance in 10 chapters of the Bible, all in the New Testament. In fact, the Strong's Concordance lists 26 places where the word mysteries or mystery can be found in the New Testament with no listings in the Old Testament. More about that a little later. In Galatians 5:16-18, the Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But you are led by the Spirit. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. In Galatians 5:19-21, the Bible says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, other outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelry, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, please don't get me wrong. God still loves you, but he will not adjust his standards. When his standards are applied to the natural world, it is one thing. But in the spiritual world, you have not ever sinned because man is not able to sin in the spiritual world. In Galatians 5:22-24, the Bible says, but in the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. For if a man is overtaken by any trespass, you who are spiritual are to restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and by doing so fulfill the laws of Christ. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. But what is the title of this message? That is what it means when it says we shall never die. That Christians will never die in the world of the Spirit. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let us all do good, especially to those who are of the household of faith. In Galatians 6:14, Paul says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. This means Paul was not influenced by what the world or what the flesh told him. He was influenced by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The letter to the Galatians is an urgent defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The letter is directed to believers, to the Jewish leaders in the church. The Jewish leaders demanding the young converts adhere to certain requirements of the law, such as circumcision, for the sake of their own salvation. Paul uses a direct and authoritarian tone as he addresses both the false teachers and students of misguided teaching, which attempted to put conditions on by the granting of the grace of God. Paul explicitly explains the grace of God for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. It does not require the observances of the Old Testament law. His defense is that it is not the Old Testament law or requirements which bring salvation. Rather, we receive God's grace as we put our faith in the Lord. The miracle of salvation comes through Jesus alone and not through obedience or practice of the Old Testament or the Old Testament law. This letter from Paul gives us an excellent practical counsel for living according to the desires of the Spirit of God. In this letter, Paul tells the Galatians what the works of the flesh are so that we can identify them. These traits are not in any way desirable. However, God does tell us there will be few of us who find our way into heaven. Whether these traits are listed in the spiritual realm or traits that are in the natural realm is readily apparent. When we think about it, it is so simple for us to understand. Some people would say these traits must be in the spiritual world in order for them to have the meaning that they have. And of course, the Bible says you cannot walk in sin and in the spiritual world if you are born again, believe in Christ and walk in the Spirit. Others would say these traits must be in the natural or the fleshly world. Why do we say that Jesus has forgiven all of our sins? Jesus forgives your sins if you are born again and believe in Jesus. Jesus is the one who died for your sins. The Bible says in the natural world, you will be forgiven all of your sins. However, there are a couple of requirements, just a couple, that are given to us by God. Once you believe in Jesus Christ and are born again, God will forgive your sins in the natural world, past, present, and future. You will be forgiven your sins by a belief in Jesus and being born again. This really makes the Bible so simple to understand, doesn't it? You can be forgiven all your sins in the natural world if you believe in Jesus and are born again. If you already have everything you will need from God when you live in the spiritual world. But you must first believe in Jesus Christ and be born again and walk in the spiritual world. Since we can go back and forth between the natural and spiritual world, the secret is to learn how to get things to manifest themselves in the natural world. These facts make believing in Jesus Christ and in being born again understandable. You must be born again, and to be born again, you must first believe in Jesus Christ. It also makes walking in the Spirit or the spiritual world desirable. However, you must be walking in the Spirit to be born again and to believe in Jesus Christ. Paul's teaching tells us not to live as we used to live, but to live like Jesus would. This means we are not to live in the natural world, but we are to live in the spiritual world. Of course, you must first believe in Jesus and secondly be born again. Only then are you permitted to live in the spiritual world. This is one of the main points Paul made in this letter. Unless you believe in Jesus, are born again, and have learned to walk in the spiritual world, you cannot see the kingdom of God. This is why so many of us are going to miss heaven in the final day. First, there are those who have passed away and have already sealed their fate. They will either go to heaven or to hell. Of course, their spirits are already in heaven or hell, but those who come, who are in heaven will receive their renewed bodies when Jesus comes back to the earth. Those of us who have not yet died will still have a chance if we will just, one, believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, two, be born again, and three, walk in the Spirit of God. This means we have to get into the Spirit of God. Our spirits will go to heaven if we believe in Jesus Christ, are born again, and are walking in the Spirit. It is my opinion that we will not be able to go to heaven if we are still in the flesh. And here is the proof. In Romans 8:8, the Bible says, for them that are in the flesh cannot please God. If we cannot please God, can we go to heaven? I don't think so. In the Romans 2:13, the Bible says, for the hearers of the word are not justified before God, but the doers of the word shall be justified. If you are not justified by God, will you go to heaven? The word justified means the same as saying just as if I'd never sinned. Until you're, again, I'm sorry to say that I don't think you are on your way to heaven unless you are a doer. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. Jesus is giving us a warning in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. In verse 13, Jesus says, "The broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many that go many will go in thereat." In verse 14, Jesus is saying, "Narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it." With these warnings coming from Jesus, do you think you're going to go to heaven? Once again, I don't know, but I just am not sure that you are. Unless you are aware, there's a little more to going to heaven than what some of us have been told by the devil. James 1:25 says, "But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." This is the opposite of the other scriptures, in that this man is a doer of the work, and the Bible says this man shall be blessed in his deed. This scripture sounds like the person is going to be blessed in his deed and will go to heaven. My question is this: where does this leave you? Are you going to heaven? Will you never die? Or do these scriptures explain why the Bible says so many of us will miss heaven? Paul also explains what believers' lives should express when describes the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. God provided his blessings as we walk with him and exemplify the Spirit, the character of his Spirit. My mentor, in answer to the question, is apparent to me that you have the ability to be whatever you might choose. Why did you not choose to be a doctor? My mentor said, "If I were a doctor, I would take a man's heart out of his chest and tweak it a little bit and put it back into his chest and sew him up. As it is, being a pastor, I can do the same thing without cutting his chest open or even touching him. Why would I want to be a doctor and take that kind of demotion?" It's rather an interesting story, I think. An interesting thought. I don't know why he would want to take that kind of a demotion either. But the story has stayed with me, and I can see the reality of it, as have a lot of people yet to tell about Jesus. I am glad I am a pastor today. My mentor also once said, "To be redeemed means to be returned to the original state of affairs. Christ, the second Adam, has returned us to the original authority that man had under God before the first Adam sinned." Hopefully this will make you do some thinking, just like it did for me. The announcer will give you contact information at the end of this show if you want to write or give me a call. I want to invite you to either call or to write to me. You will not be seen as a bother to me. Well, our time for today is just about come and gone. We will be here next week unless the Lord comes first. If that is the case, I will see you in heaven. This is Pastor Don Swarthout saying goodbye for now.
This has been Craves Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida. We pray that today's program has been a blessing to you. For more information, visit us online at www.christiansforamerica.com. Once again, that's Christians, the number four, America.com. Or visit thegospeltruthcenter.com. We would love to hear from you. You can write Pastor Swarthout at 4677 Belvedere Circle, Pace, Florida, 32571. Or you can email Pastor Don at swarthout5, that's the number 5, at AOL.com. Or call 850-736-8613. Once again, that's 850-736-8613. Thank you for listening to Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout. We look forward to hearing from you.